Good morning, recording folks. Button. It's Ricky, the Caribbean Blind Man, doing an audio boo on Dolores' blog. Was nice talking to you, Dolores, on Skype. And I'm following through with your question and what you asked me to do. Why is Ricky who he is, and how did I become who I am? It's a very long story, so let me talk here quickly. You might listen to some parrots in the background. I do own several parrots. As many of you know, I live in the island of Puerto Rico. And yes, I'm blind / visually impaired. I can see silhouettes out of one eye, so I'm not fully blind. And I was able to see until I was 30 years old. So part of my attitude and part of my things is because I still have embedded in my brain 30 years of memory plus 15 years now of living with this visual, I'm not going to call it a problem. It's a way of life. Probably my attitude, this topic, first I want to say this topic came up because as I was speaking with Dolores, for those of you that are listening, a couple of days ago, there was a question to be posted, memories of your childhood. And I also spoke with Jackie, the boob magnet, about this over Skype. And I told her, you know, I told Jackie, I did the boo and I deleted it. Because after I listened to it, I said people might get the wrong impression about myself. Probably say, oh, maybe he's a show-off, maybe he's a liar. Well, none of the two previous ones. I'm not a show-off and I'm not a liar. But I did have an awesome childhood. I come from a financially stable family, so that gave me many privileges as a child. Not anymore, because I'm independent. When I lost my eyesight, basically I got kicked in my ass. Oops, sorry about that one. Kicked in my butt out on the street. And I think that's been a blessing for myself. So as a child, here in Puerto Rico, my dad had a company, manufacturing company. Probably when it started up in 1968, 1 week after I was born, my dad didn't want to open up the company until I was out of the hospital. Once I was out of the hospital, company opened its doors. A manufacturing company made jackets, polo shirts for many of these brands that you folks in the U.S. will use as high-end clothing. Well, they were made by us. Most of the United Postal Service, also known as UPS, all their jackets were made by us. Company like Levi's, Sprit, of the girls' house clothing, Sprit, Levi's, Wrangler, Domino's Pizza. Wow, I remember I was working in the company for those years when we were making those orange and blue colored, neon kind of colored jackets. We were making windbreakers for them, for Domino's Pizza, Sears, JCPenney, just to name a few. And with having 300, 200 persons working on, you know, under the company, basically, I could probably get whatever I wished to do. So, living in a small town also, everybody knew that I was my dad's kid. So I didn't have any trouble walking in places and saying, I want this, and when my dad comes, he can pay for it. My mother is an upstate New York farm girl, which also I consider my family to be financially stable up there. And basically my mom also got whatever she wished. So when my mom and dad got married and they moved to the town where the company was made, my mom wanted a farm and my dad nonetheless, about 10 acres oceanfront. And when I mean oceanfront, it was oceanfront. Nobody in front of us, nobody on our sides. There wasn't even telephone lines in those days. The nearest telephone was probably 5 miles away from my home. In a Mason Beach. Caribbean Sea right there. Just look out the front window in the kitchen. Look out of your bedroom. It was a two-story home. Several bedrooms, five-bathroom home. You know, a huge house. On a 10-acre farm. I had horses. I had cows. I had chickens. I had goats. I had a small zoo. I bred animals for sales from it since I was a young kid. This is why I studied business. I wanted to be a vet, but I wimped out on that one. So I went to study business. My grandparent was, because he passed away, a very peaceful, very polite person, very strict in his way of working. And I inherited that. And he also liked farming and growing trees, which I also inherited that. And my mom did volunteer work. My mom studied, my dad's an industrial engineer, and my mom's a fashion designer. And did a lot of charity work. I guess that's why I still keep doing volunteering my time. And I would go to the beach. I had a surfboard. I would go walk down the farm and cross our barbed wire fence, and I could go surfing in a nice beach right on a resort. There were privately owned homes where people would come for weekends or stay summers. And that was a nice beach to go surfing and spend the day there, getting suntan, play volleyball, play paddleball, play frisbee, go with your dog, make a barbecue, you name it. Take your ATV, your four-wheel drive, little off-road ride along the beach. Could go off and climb up on some rocks and go fishing, and we could surf. You know, we could do so many things in one single beach. And I studied in private schooling. You know, so sometimes when I talk about, you know, when I mentioned that I'm so happy and I had such a great life, it's because, gosh darn it, I did. There's no reason to fake it or lie about it. And sometimes I do, you probably have heard me on this expression, that I have no value for money and I do value human life. Because, well, when from a child, you basically, for Christmas, you got the last thing that was out in the market. So probably if I was a child back in those days and there were an iPhone, I would have probably had an iPad, an iPod, an iPhone, 64 gig, you know, for Christmas. Not a 16 gig, but I would tell my dad, I want a 64 gig. And I want the most expensive computer, and I would have probably gotten it. Well, if I deserved it, if I earned it, obviously. So I, in that sense, I have no value for money. Even that now I have to work hard to acquire what I acquire. But I, for some weird reason, I still like expensive things. The dad of one of my friends always, he would joke about this. It's having the taste for champagne, but the budget for a diet soda. We do like champagne, but we can only buy a soda. So that's basically why I am like I am, you know. I did enjoy my teenage days. My parents got divorced when I was 18. So those pre-18-year-old days, jeez. It's not because I'm talking about myself, but it was just darn cool, you know. Go to private school and drive back for an hour, make it home, grab my surfboard, go down surfing until I could see no more, go back home, walk up home, you know, just in my swimsuit, no shoes, no t-shirt, walk up the farm, rinse off my surfboard, put it out in the lawn, in the garage, the open garage, you know, anywhere. So I would just leave it there and rinse off with the hose outdoors, and so I didn't track sand inside the house, and dinner would be cooked because my mom's an awesome good cook also. Do my homework if I felt like doing it, because I had good grades and I didn't have to study for it. That's strange. My wife says if I had truly put in my knowledge into studying, probably my history would have been different. Maybe I would have cared for my diabetes and I wouldn't be blind now and would not lose my kidneys either and had needed that transplant. So that's why I volunteer my time and I talk so much, because as I was telling Dolores, why should I stay quiet or keep silence if I walk down this path and I tripped and fell and got all scarred up and I see you coming down the same road? I can scream to you, stop, don't do it. You're going to get yourself in trouble. I'm full of bandages down here. So that's maybe just why I talk so much, maybe talk too much and probably bored you folks to death. But I think there's a purpose to it. I do like to listen to stories. I'm not going to lie about it. There's some that I just jump right over them. I say, oh, no, not again. And I bet there's a few out there that probably see my name and say, oh, no, there he comes again, and they will just jump over it. Well, that's fine. Freedom of speech. That's what it's all about. And I want to take this opportunity to say by no means I have ever tried to offend somebody on here. Because even if we don't think we do, sometimes we do. Some comment, some person might take it in an offensive way. Sometimes, you know, like myself, I'm translating from Spanish to English right here. I'm thinking in Spanish, translating in my brain and speaking in English. So I'm multitasking just as I speak. Maybe I might put a verb. I'm not putting out an excuse, but maybe kind of a sense of why I do things like I do it. Because I do speak what's on my mind. Well, folks, I just wanted to pitch this in because Dolores asked me to do this on her blog. And I wanted to share a little about myself. There's no worse question than the one you don't ask. So feel free to ask. If you need help with accessibility or anything, remember I was sighted. So even that my name is Caribbean Blind Man, remember I was sighted. Now I can barely see. But there isn't two different roles out there. We don't live in two different places, you know, the sighted and the blind, or the people in wheelchairs, or the people that are elderly, you know. We all live in one role, and we all have to interact with each other. So, I ask questions everywhere I go. But I will ask, what's that sound? What are you doing? And when they try, I will say, hey, I like that. Can you explain a little bit more? Well, yeah, we the blind have to ask a little bit more because we can't see it. Sometimes we ask, where do we get to this place? And the person just by accident, they don't mean it to do harm. They will just point and they will say, over there. And I'm like, okay, over where? And then they say, oh, sorry. And I said, you don't have to be sorry. It's simply, you know, it's our instant reaction to things. Wrong is when people make fun of another person just because maybe how they speak or how they walk or how they dress or for their weight. And as many of you listen to me on my speech, you know that that's not the way how I work things out. And I bet many of these listeners of this boo would probably say that I have put in quite enough time and direct messages trying to help people in and out of a problem or an advice or whatever. So that's it. So Dolores, once again, it was a pleasure talking to you. As you know, it's always a pleasure to speak to you, and you're welcome to visit me here in Puerto Rico anytime. You gotta plan it. You gotta plan to come down here. You can drive. I know this island by memory. And one of these days, my wife and I will make it up to the UK, to London. You told me you had a room for us, so at least I know I have somewhere to stay. Okay, take care. Lovely afternoon to everybody. February 8th, and it's sometime around noon. And I must nag this to Dolores. An amazing and beautiful sunshine day turned out to be. We had rain in the morning, but it's beautiful outdoors. So, take care. Enjoy your afternoon, everybody. Bye-bye.